There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Wow. 107 FM Talk 106.5. And this is Midday Mobile. Hey, just looking at some of the numbers here, and you heard the news update there for where the Dow is, S&P 500, NASDAQ right now. It is of interest to me that this is associated with coronavirus, but it waited till the coronavirus cases. I think the news today or over the weekend, coronavirus cases in China, whether you believe we're getting the truth or whatever, other Chinese. Just take them at their word for this. To follow me. So they have now reported that they have stopped the growth of coronavirus. It's leveled off or is dropping in some areas. Doesn't mean it's not going on. It just means it's not growing, right? It's leveled off and dropping. So through the whole rise of coronavirus, there were jitters in the market, but it didn't start this problem. Now you're looking at Europe, to some degree the United States, which we can talk about the story out of Anniston and what's going on here. But you're looking at Europe, I think, but kind of the Mardi Gras angle. I think they, was it Milan, I think, that they shut down basically their carnival, their Mardi Gras there because of the fear of the coronavirus spreading. Okay. But that all of a sudden... and. Now that it's Europe, now that it's elsewhere, now the markets are really dropping. Because we look at China and what the second biggest economy out there. But is it there's so many people that they don't think it affects? You see what I'm saying? That this coronavirus has been it's Wuhan, right? Wuhan is where it started. It's been a story there for over a month and something. And the world markets, they've hiccuped a little bit, but they corrected pretty quickly, like intraday corrections. And now you're looking at this big, and this may be just a reset, and by tomorrow everything would be back to normal. But it is really they're blaming it on Wall Street, and it's a red day. It's a red day on Wall Street. A story here, I'll read you a couple here from MarketWatch. I think we're interesting. MarketWatch.com. Number one, spread of coronavirus lifts odds for Fed rate cut, as inaction would be tone deaf. Said recent global developments, including more rapid spread of coronavirus outside of China, make it more likely the Federal Reserve will be forced to soon cut interest rates to respond to growth concerns, according to economists gathered for a top policy conference on Monday. I think they're going to have to go, said Carl Tannenbaum, chief economist at Northern Trust. Sitting still would be a sign of being tone-deaf, Tannenbaum answered. Or added, federal officials have argued over the past several weeks that coronavirus, known as COVID-19, was going to be a temporal problem that the U.S. economy would make up for later in the year. Now, this Tannenbaum said, that recovery now seems a remote possibility. The coronavirus, think about that, that it's that big a deal that they say it's going to affect the U.S. economy, even if it wasn't something that was spread through our nation, our country, just because of, I guess, what it does to global markets. Goes on the story, say that means U.S. business that are heavily dependent on China for components, including Apple, which is way down, and others are going to burn through their inventory and be stuck. So it's an inventory thing for American companies. They're saying the Fed cut its benchmark rate 3 times last year due to worries about a recession. Before the COVID-19 outbreak, those recession risks had been declining. Federal Chairman Jerome Powell and his colleagues have said that they would cut rates if they saw anything that would demand a material reassessment of their outlook for moderate growth. So the question is a rate cut going to come driven by what's happening today in the markets based around the coronavirus? It's of interest. I mean, think about it. Think about how long we've been talking about this with China. And then it's just now that it's dropping the market. By the way, the latest here, I mean, the market's off 1,000. Dow's off more than 1,000 points. And it's heading for, at this point, its second worst drop ever. Think about that. What's just going on this afternoon? We'll see. I mean, I'm talking with y'all, but my left eye is trained on one of the monitors here that I have on a financial cable channel that I'm watching numbers come in like staccato level here. And watching the flip side, gold hitting a 7-year high. So those that are buying precious metals have been buying precious metals. Gold nearly a 10-year high. So you've got a story here, the Fed possibly that was not going to cut rates, might cut rates because of what's happening right now, but they say it's coronavirus driven. Then you have gold shooting up. I knew this morning when we heard that oil futures were dropping and gold futures were rising. It was not a good thing. Here's the update here from MarketWatch. It said it's happening. Bonafide sell-off took hold of Wall Street today after investors spent weeks attempting to come to terms with the potential impact of COVID-19 as it spreads in countries outside China, threatening to dent global supply chains and economies. If it holds until the closing bell, today's decline would mark the second biggest daily drop point drop for the Dow Jones Industrial Average in its 124-year history. The blue chip benchmark dropped 1,052 points at its low, or 3.63%. It says, be sure such drops are less meaningful because the Dow has been trading at lofty levels. For example, the Dow's 1987 crash was a 508-point drop, but represented a 23% decline overall. Yeah, you got to look how much the market's grown, the total size of the market versus the percentage change. But what I'm getting at is I'm not even looking at the numbers right now. It's just that this COVID-19 story, this coronavirus story, has been happening for months. And now, finally, today, it fascinates me in a morbid way, what then made Wall Street finally panic on this. And so we'll watch those numbers, but it's not, once again, not looking good. If you want to, you probably don't want to go check your stuff. Go ahead and do not open those accounts, all right? But Dow right now, off by more than 8,000 points. We'll give you an update on this coming up in just a little bit. Plus, some more people texting in about whether they vote for Tommy Tuberville. If you're an Auburn fan, if you're an Alabama fan, does that drive your decision at all for who you'd vote for in the Senate? Would you vote for Tuberville, Alabama fans? Would you do it? Let me know.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
I keep waiting for like a little bit of green on this screen out here from Wall Street. I guess the green would be precious metals. Gold doing well. Everything else not having a great day. Well, the Fed, you know, they're all asking what will the Fed do and step in. Interesting, I mean, that you could have this sell-off going on here, this down day on Wall Street, and that's driven by a virus. I get it. I mean, I get why it is, but it's when you think about it, like the metrics of the businesses haven't changed except the supply chains. And when they talk about the customer base, is it that, I mean, they have not said this on any of the things I've read on MarketWatch today. Is the idea that people are going to be sick? Because they're not going to be the stats are what it's what 2% of people die from the coronavirus. So one thing that doesn't get, maybe it's more than that. I don't think it is. I don't think it's much more than that. If it is, so are they saying that people are going to be sick so they can't go out and buy the products? Or are they saying that they're not going to be there to buy the products? That's like, I get the supply chain issue. You look at Apple having Apple stocks taking a plunge today. They said they're going to have an issue getting supply out of sweatshops making their different products and sending it in. Okay. That's one. That's, I get that, right? If a company can't bring their supplies to market, I get it. But are they saying that? Because in the articles they say, well, both supply chain and customer level. Is it that they're expecting these people to just be? And if you're sick, you're not out buying iPhones. I get it, or whatever other product. But is it? They're not going to be there. That's a very strange. Trying to understand the market. The day I ever think I understand the market is the day I go, I have no idea what's going on. Because sometimes a certain series of events happens and the market reacts or doesn't react. I mean, you look at it, you're like, it's the same as what happened a month ago, but now the market is correcting or not correcting. So it's a, just watch this, and we'll watch this we'll watch the market today, and then of course see if it corrects and rebounds. But the Fed, the idea that the Fed is going to step in and fix this, basically the Fed was going to be like laissez-faire here with the markets going forward in this year because of what they had seen in their projection. Now will the Fed, I think they said it would be heartless, would they say it'd be like heartless if the Fed did not step in at this point. All right, the load, now they're calling, Barron's is calling this the coronavirus sell-off. Big sell-off, coronavirus, big sell-off. Here's the update. This came out just a little bit ago. It said just last Wednesday, S&P 500 was sitting at an all-time high. Days later, it's experiencing its worst day in 2 years as the market reacts to the spread of coronavirus beyond China. The quick reversal has left investors wondering what comes next. All right, so gold, by the way, gold is the only thing I see up. Maybe we'll look at silver. Silver's probably up too. I didn't see that, but gold is up, but the indices are down, individual stocks are down. And it's interesting, too, to look through the individual stocks. It's not just, like, tech sector. It goes into different sectors. So this is something. And why? And I'm asking this. It's not rhetorical. I mean, why now? You ever wonder that? Like just on a given day, now Wall Street goes, okay, now it bothers us. It's been whatever the thing is. It could be coronavirus. It could be something else in the past. Like, it's been a story. It's been a story. It's been a story. And that, okay, now we're all going to run like the people in the Godzilla movie. We're just going to run and run. What has them not running before and then all of a sudden running? Also, a few texts come in here. I thought there'd be more texts from y'all on this. I missed the mark on that. The story about the index that they did here for Tommy Tuberville's name index with Alabama fans and Auburn fans in the state. I mean, at the end of that, they said, according to the study, Tuberville's Affinio platform has a relevancy score for Tommy Tuberville. It says Tuberville's score of 8.3 among Auburn fans puts him on par with people like Stephen Colbert. In comparison, President Donald Trump has a local relevance score of 23 among Auburn fans. For Alabama fans, Tuberville is about as relevant in Alabama as the Philadelphia Eagles, the San Antonio Spurs, and Major League Soccer. So would you vote? I mean, that, I thought we were going to maybe make it through the whole campaign without this question coming back up in a survey form, but now it is. It's in the survey. Alabama fans, will you vote for Tommy Tuberville? Would you? Does it? I mean, if you're looking, let me define this better. If you're an Alabama fan, you're a Republican who will be voting in the primary, okay, which is a week from tomorrow, and you're an Alabama fan, will you vote for Tommy Tuberville? If so, why? If not, why? You can text us or call us at 343-0106. All right, grab a couple calls here. It seems like a coronavirus and stock market, they don't work well together. James, the engineer in Mobile, wants to comment on that. Hey, James.
Yes, I just want to say, you know, in my 64 years, what I've noticed is there's something influencing the market right now that's not what I would say actively visual for us to see. And that's why it's going this route right now. There's something.
What you're saying, it has nothing to do? It has nothing to do with coronavirus? It's not driven by coronavirus. It's not. I mean,
no. It might be maybe something to do with medical supplies or something like that. But no, I do not believe it's that. I think it could be maybe where something was going to be developed in China or North Korea, one of these third world countries, and now they can't do it, or either it's going to be something else that's going to come out here in the next few days. We'll hear about it. And they'll kind of low-key throw it out there and like no big deal. But that's what usually that I've seen with the stock market when something drastic happens like this. It's something that they're not putting out there visually or verbally that we know about.
Right.
It's going to be an influence to it.
Well, I don't know how that influences Apple stock, though. But we'll wait. You might have your big victory lap, your hot take victory lap. We'll see. I'm a person that the second I think I know exactly what's going on, I step out of my shoes for a second and go, Mike, you know anything. Come on. Let's go to somebody does know. Okay, Derek in Fairhope knows what's going on here. Hey, Derek.
I know a little bit more than he does. No offense to him. All right, so they milked it as long as they could, you know, as far as the market goes. I mean, this should have happened, I mean, really the beginning of February once they realized there was going to be an outbreak. But, you know, they weren't done with the party. You know what I mean? It's and even now, you know, what you're hearing out of the Fed is that, what, they're going to go down, what did they say, a quarter point in March? Is that what I heard this morning?
Yeah, it's not official yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
the only thing they have, the only ammunition they have to do anything for the market is just to print more money. And that's why you're seeing gold go up so much that,
sure,
you know, everybody's flocking to treasuries, which is sinking, you know.
The treasuries were looking like a run-over moon pie a second ago. I have to go back and check the update. They were not looking good.
Well, the more people, there's still a flight to a safe haven. U.S. treasuries, you know, are always going to be a safe flight. Now, China did sell the most treasuries ever in December. That could have affected the price as well. But that's what you're seeing, like gold go up.
Well, sure.
That's the only, you know, that's a hard metal safe haven.
Well, it also says,
the
market is going to, you know, they feel going into a correction or something worse because, I mean, oil futures drop big time. So people look at that and gold goes up. I mean, that's just a straight up, that's the old school formula. That's, you know, what, 101 level. I don't know why it's caused, but I know when I see it what that means.
Yeah, it's been overbought for so long anyway. I mean, I've been screaming for a correction, hell, since last year. I can't believe it's done what it's done. Makes absolutely no sense. The scary thing is that I was reading an article this morning that if the S&P closes below a certain number, it's going to kick into some automatic, you know, selling, which is even going to be even worse. If you think it's bad now, wait till the automatic selling kicks in, and then it's really going to hit the fan.
But then they shut it down too. They can. We'll see if they're gonna call quick. Let's see. It's 1:27, so it's 2:27 Eastern time. I just wonder if they would. You know, some days they'll have this mercy rule thing where they shut it down.
Yeah. I forget what rate that's at. Like 5%, or I think it's 10%. Is when the automatic breaker goes in. But then what is that going to do? The next morning, as soon as, you know, the futures market opens up, boom, there it is again. It's even worse. So I don't know, man. I mean, people, you know, they need to start taking, you know, the market is one thing, you know, but they need to start taking this virus seriously, homie. You know, this is,
all right,
this is real deal.
All right, Holmes. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Gary in Mobile. I'm next. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Sean.
Hey.
I read two articles last week, and I was kind of like you. I was like, what does this have to do with apples and oranges, you know? But it was an article about the supply chain for Boeing and Airbus both comes from China. And, well, not all of it, but some of it. And the thing about the airline industry and airplanes in general is everything is handmade. There's very little automation. Boeing has some, but it's still handmade. Well, if you're out sick because you got corona, you're not making your stuff, and then the parts are slow and late or whatever. So.
Right. So, but it is all supply side and not, because I was wondering, looking at it, I'd say, is it all driven by, you know, Apple not being able to get whatever it is, like you're talking about,
right,
for Airbus and Boeing, or is it that and then there's nowhere to sell it? Now, it's a different market, obviously, for Airbus and Boeing than it is for Apple, you know, gadgets we're going to put in our pocket in our cars and all that stuff. But because it said it was partially driven by, I guess, reduced, you know, consumer action on it. And I don't know if they meant consumers wouldn't be there, they'd be dead, or they'd be...
I didn't read that part. I just read the part. It was basically like a manpower thing, I thought.
Well, maybe that's it. Why? See, this is... I have no idea. This is not a rhetorical question. I'm fascinated by this stuff. Why doesn't this come in slowly over the last few weeks with this realization? Why does it go, everything's fine, fine, fine. Oh, today we're going to panic.
Yeah, who knows?
I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. That's always been my question. It could be coronavirus, it could be anything that ends up doing this. You would just think as news comes out, as information comes out, you slowly see these people move money or this change, or instead of everything's fine, oh, crap, and everybody run. You know, just, we'll watch. I mean, well, this is, I still wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow it makes some kind of turnaround, some kind of correction there, back the other way. But it's just, think about that. It's not like we just all got a memo today, coronavirus is a thing, right? But they're putting all the blame on coronavirus on now they're showing me semiconductor numbers. All right, I'm going to study some market stuff. We'll be right back. Check Dr. Bill's forecast and news next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, Dalton, Team America could have defeated coronavirus if they weren't puppets. All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Big thank you to Dalton as well. Sent me the story because he knew it had Warren Buffett's name in it. I'd be interested with all the stuff going on right now as we are watching just been a big drop for the Dow. And let's see we'll check the latest in a second. I want to read this Warren Buffett story. Have I now dropped the story wherever it went? It was somewhere. It was right there in amongst the 600-700 tabs I have open here. All right, there it is. From USA Today, said billionaire Warren Buffett says the viral outbreak in China has slowed economic growth, but he remains confident in the long-term future of American business. It's probably been a pretty solid bet over the decades. Buffett appeared on CNBC today after releasing his annual letter to Berkshire Hathaway shareholders over the weekend. Maybe one day I can own one. So that's a life goal, by the way. Side note, not that you care, but I'll tell you, I'd like to own a share of Berkshire Hathaway. Be cool. I know there's different classes, but one of the bigger classes would be nice. And Buffett said the reports he gets from Berkshire's assortment of more than 90 businesses and stock investments show that business is a little softer now than it was 6 months ago, but he remains optimistic. He said 20 or 30 years from now, American business and probably all over the world will be far better than it is today. Nice to hear. He said, you'll notice many businesses we partially own, and he's talking about Berkshire Hathaway here, American Express, Coca-Cola, those are businesses, and you don't need to buy or sell your business based on today's headlines. If it gives you a chance to buy something you like and you can buy it even cheaper, then it's your good luck. So he's saying, hold what you got. Now, there are obviously other people out there that are not listening to the Oracle at Omaha, because there's a whole lot of selling going on in the market right now. Okay, here's a little addendum, though. Remember, we just talked, Gary was talking about supply chain stuff. Gary, listen to this. So it goes on to the story. It says, many of Berkshire's roughly 1,000 Dairy Queen stores in China are closed, and many of Berkshire's other companies are suffering supply chain problems. Okay, number one thing I didn't know, that there are at least 1,000 Dairy Queens in China. Wow. Good for you, Dairy Queen. But they're closed, so that's not good. And they're suffering supply chain problems. I get it. All right. But, I mean, that's, once again, everybody keeps saying supply chain problems. So it's not that there's not a market. It's just they can't get the stuff to sell to them. At least that's what we're being told now. The company remains a net buyer of stocks over time, and Buffett doesn't expect to change that because of the coronavirus outbreak. Okay, so Warren Buffett says, this is scary stuff. I don't think it should affect what you do in stocks. In terms of human race, it's scary stuff when you have a pandemic. I thought we're back to not calling it a pandemic, right? We were, and then it was no. Are we back to yes? It's like, is coffee good for you? So now we can call it a pandemic again. Buffett touched on politics during the interview. The longtime Democrat said he would support Mike Bloomberg over the current frontrunner in the Democrat race, Bernie Sanders, but he didn't discuss all the top candidates. Whew. I mean, if Warren Buffett wants to get rid of, what did he say, he's going to get rid of 99% of his fortune before he dies? I don't think the kids are getting something, but 99% he's getting rid of. Wouldn't Bernie Sanders make that happen faster than Mike Bloomberg? Maybe not. Buffett said, I would have no trouble voting for Mike Bloomberg. And then they go back to talking about the virus. Oh, well. All right. They had to dig in the Democrat politics in the story there. But Warren Buffett's saying, don't buy or sell stocks on coronavirus fears. But he's not saying don't buy or sell stocks. He's just don't do it on coronavirus fears. You could come in there and say, well, I did it for some other reason. It was actually some other reason that I bought or sold those stocks. But gold continues to go up. Dow Jones, let's see the latest refresh here. Dow down 3.08%. S&P down 2.92%. NASDAQ down 3.31%. Global Dow down 2.83%. Gold is up, as we move through the end of the trading day. All right, if we have any other big changes out there, we'll let you know. Tony says, how does the media always know exactly what causes the market to go one way or the other? Do they do polls or what? I just think that's kind of suspect. That's what I'm saying, Tony. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at it, Tony, from two sides. I mean, number one, I'm like a regular American that has retirement money, right, and has money you put in the stock market. I think I'm like a lot of people. So I'm basically, that shines through any fact that I'm in the media. It's just I'm a normal person that's trying to understand better when you invest money, right? And what drives this and what drives that. I don't know. I mean, Tony, I've been in this business I'm pushing 30 years here soon. I've been in the radio business. And I think there are people at the highest level of media, sure. They're like talking points, and here's how they work, and you talk about the mainstream media and how in for the Democrats they are, those things, and there's a lot of that. But when you get down to the second or third layer of that, beyond there, there's not a lot of meetings, and maybe I've just been left out of the club, but there's not a lot of directives on how to spin a story, right? I think what happens is it probably trickles down from another level, and people just report what the person in the level above them said. So, I mean, you're asking, how does the media always know exactly what causes the market to go one way or another? Great points. They may hear from this expert or that expert, and then just the first person says that, and then the couple big news agencies report it, then everybody else on down the line will report it. Like, I'm not, my question's not like, oh, it's a conspiracy and I know the answer. My question is, why is it that the story about coronavirus has been, it's fairly mature. It's an older story, right? We've been talking about it on and on and on, but it hits some point. It's not just coronavirus. There's been other things that affected the market that I thought would come in like a little more of a slow burn or a transition. And you look at the story and the markets don't react, and you're wondering, why don't they react? But they don't. And then all of a sudden, they do. So that's, Fed's talk about stepping in. We'll see. We'll see where this goes. And of course, this has a big political angle. Big political. The unsung verse right now is what this means for President Trump's reelection, because one of the best things President Trump has going is the economy. The economy, unless spun by people who are opponents to President Trump, the economy is a nonpartisan thing, right? It's been good news for lots of Americans. I know they'll wheel out somebody who's had a bad time with the economy. I get it. Generally, Americans have been satisfied with this economy. That's one of the things that gets you reelected. It's not a Second Amendment issue or a pro-choice, pro-life issue. It's not one of these social battles. It's the economy. Stupid, right? That was one of the things I think was going to help President Trump, and still is at this point, help President Trump to win in November. If this goes the other way, which it may not. Like I said, this may go through a small correction. It may receive the virus in the form of some rate cuts by the Fed, and everything may be fine by this time next week. But it's at least worth looking at. going forward, what that means. All right, coming back, I want to talk. We'll talk a little more about the Senate race. Also, I do want to talk about this crossover voting story. Well, we have time. Do we have time for the break? I just run to the beginning of the story from Jason Johnson over at LandyapMobile.com. It said Alabama voters participating in the March 3rd presidential primaries will have a lot of decisions to make, but one could impact them more directly than the others, selecting which primary they want to vote in. For only the third time, Alabama will host its primary with a fairly recent ban on crossover voting in place. We'll discuss that when we return.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
But you know what? This reminds me, before we wrap up today on this Lundy Gras edition of Midday Mobile, something I saw over the last 2 days downtown. Lots of Nancy Pelosi posters. Big things challenging you to throw a Mardi Gras throw and hit the Nancy Pelosi poster. It's, sometimes they've bugged out the speaker's eyes even more than so the big face, the visage of Nancy Pelosi will be maybe, I don't know, two or three people back from the guardrails. You'd be like, there's like the kids and the cool stuff going on there, and then the parents of the kids, and then like punk teenagers, and then like right behind punk teenagers, the people have the signs with the Nancy Pelosi saying like, oh, you can't hit me or something like that. I saw one of those people get pummeled with throws the other day, so obviously it's working. So Nancy Pelosi pictures are actually a tool used by Alabamians to get more throws, so people can throw bags of beads and smack the picture of Nancy Pelosi. I think that's what I saw going on. I think that's what. Oh, by the way, too, what about used... I saw this the other day, used throws. You know, if you're going to throw stuffed animals, if you're a rider, let's get some new stuffed animals. Let's not get stuff with stains on it. I saw people getting things and holding them up, and they already had stains on the stuffed animal. Not if they hit the ground, absolutely, they're going to get stained. But, I mean, the pre-stained Mardi Gras throw. There's a strange thing. All right. I want to get some more on this story from Jason Johnson. We talked about this a while ago, but this is something to remember as tomorrow, or just a week out from Super Tuesday. And Jason writes for Lanyap, he writes, Alabama voters participating in the March 3rd presidential primaries will have a lot of decisions to make, but one could impact them more directly than the others, and that's selecting which primary they want to vote in. For only the third time, Alabama will host its primary with a fairly recent ban on crossover voting in place. Crossover voting occurs when someone who votes in one party's primary election swaps their affiliation to vote in a runoff election between two candidates, between the two candidates of an opposite party. So in Alabama, here's how it works. In Alabama, if no candidate receives a majority of a vote in a primary, the top two candidates move on to the head-to-head runoff election. Remember, we talked about, I got a feeling about this, that we're going to look at one, if not two, runoffs in Alabama, and maybe more as you look at AL2, but I'm talking about AL1 Republican primary and the Senate Republican primary. So if no candidate receives a majority of vote in the primary, the top two candidates move on to a head-to-head runoff election. With several races featuring multiple candidates, it's possible that someone could force a runoff this year. If that happens, the runoff vote would be held on March 31st. Under the new law, voters can only vote in the runoff of the party that matches the primary they participated in March 3rd, a week from tomorrow. It should also be noted that regardless of what primary voters participated in, anyone can cast a vote for any candidate in the general election on November 2nd. So, and it goes back. So the bill that made crossover voting illegal in 2017 was introduced by State Senator Tom Watley, out of Auburn, and it's since been implemented by the Alabama Secretary of State, John Merrill's office. The bill passed in the middle of a special Senate election, the one that put U.S. Senator Doug Jones in office. To me, that one's always, and I know some people get bothered by it, if you are the party in power, you want to protect your your primaries, right? You want to do that. Democrats had that in place a long time in Alabama, and it was only, I guess, after a decade or so that Republicans realized, oh, yeah, dude, we're in power. Let's do one of those ourselves. But it's, I think the argument is solid in the fact that if you didn't vote in a primary, if you didn't, even though I get it, because you can turn around and argue, well, but I get to vote for that person in the general election, doesn't matter what party I, but if you went to the primary and you voted in Democrat or you voted Republican, and then there's a runoff between two people that you could not have voted for at that point because you voted in the other party's primary, you don't get to vote. It doesn't bother me as much as it does others that you don't get to vote in that runoff, because you can still, you know, vote against how you voted in a primary or something different in the general. But yeah, this idea that there are people that are upset, because listen, you use it, it's a political tool, you use it to disrupt the other party's politics, voting in a primary runoff after you voted for a different party in the primary, trying to tweak or nudge some outcomes in those primaries. All right, let's see, we got, yeah, hold on. We'll get him on here because we're about to be out of time. Dr. Lou in Mobile is checking in. Hey, Dr. Lou.
Hey, Sean. How you doing, guy?
Doing good. Just up against the end of the show here. So what, you want to talk some Amendment 1? You got a quick update here?
I just want to reinforce to everyone, I mean, what you're saying about the important choices coming up are absolutely true. But this choice about Amendment 1 is totally critical. Because if we do what Amendment 1 wants to do, which is to change, completely change the educational system by making your State Board of Education an appointed board by the governor, which is, and then it goes to the Senate for confirmation. I mean, if you want to turn over to this crony government those kinds of powers, then you need to think twice about it. We say vote no. You know, keep your right to vote and make sure that we do not keep Common Core in the system. And what they're trying to pretend that if you get rid of the, if you pass the amendment, then you're going to get rid of Common Core. It's absolutely a lie. And I'll talk more about it next week. But okay, you know what? We've got commercials running on your station and your show, you know, this starting this coming week. It's basically Jim Ziegler saying, vote no, because it is a critical vote that you have to save your right to vote and keep that Board of Election as an elected entity.
Hey, Dr. Liu, we will. We'll talk about this going forward because it's, but people need to understand how this works and what they will look at on a ballot. And then, you know, when we talk about constitutional amendments, where those are on ballots versus where the candidates are. A lot of people are used to, who have not voted for, maybe new to voting or don't do it often. They're really kind of thinking about people and names as they come into this versus issues and, you know, CAs.
Yes. Exactly. It's true. And it's the last thing on the ballot, and it's very difficult to read it anyway, and the language is deceptive to begin with. So,
hey, by the way,
I mean, Sean,
didn't we fix that?
We tried to fight that at the Fair Ballot Commission, and we went, it got nowhere. People are dug in. This is what they want. It's what they want with everything, whether it's the gas tax, whether it's a $6 toll. These people want the power, and I'm telling you something, we're going to stick it to them on this one.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm mad about this.
Well, it sounds like it. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry we're out of time. We're out of time on this show, but we'll get you back in soon to talk more about this. Dr. Liu, appreciate the update. All right. At the end of the show for today, once again, tomorrow, super fat. Who was it complaining? You on the text line. What? Because we have stuff we do on Fat Tuesday. So this person was asking. So tomorrow morning, we're giving you a week out from Super Tuesday. We're going to give you Super Fat Tuesday. So if you're not going to the Mardi Gras, not doing those things, or maybe on your way to the Mardi Gras, it's your chance to listen to so many interviews we've done with candidates in the AL1, the House race on the Republican primary side, also the Senate race on the Republican primary side. You get a chance to listen to our conversations with those folks, and we ask the same, I mean, not the same exact questions, everybody, but the general subjects are the same. So as you go through the interviews airing tomorrow morning from 6 to 9, you have a chance to maybe compare and contrast. You hear the question about tariffs or trade with one candidate, I'll ask something similar in another interview, and you can kind of balance those. Or if your question's about immigration, or you know, a question about fiscal conservative, or all those things, I'll ask those, and you'll hear the different candidates that would like to be the Republican nominee in AL1 and in the Senate. In general election, answer those questions. So we'll bounce that through tomorrow, Super Fat Tuesday, on Fat Tuesday here at FM Talk 106.5. And then we've got special programming tomorrow with Personal Wedge Fitness in the middle of the day. And then we're back, Ash Wednesday, full speed. All right. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I'll see y'all at the Boom Boom.